Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
The next question that I have for you is this. So we do from time to time, and you hear this as well, have dogs who just won't eat the raw, or so they say. And we do have the raw feeding cheat sheet, all the different things that we say. But then there's just some people that say it's just not happening. What are your thoughts?
See, that's hard because I've never met one that wouldn't eat it eventually. I know there's people out there that swear up and down that there is, and I've talked to some of them, but the problem is there's got to be something, right? And when you're not there and you can't see the situation, you can't see the dog, you can't see hands-on, that kind of thing, there's no way to second guess it. You have to go by what the person says, and they may be, in all honesty, telling you everything they can possibly think of and being as forthright and as straightforward as they possibly can, but they're missing something. There's so many different things that could fall into it. They have taste preferences just like people. So there's that. Some of them may be dealing with reflux or something along those lines that maybe the owner's not aware of, or they are not seeing something that's going on. It could be something totally behavioral that you would never put together. Maybe they were eating and the trash truck came by and dropped a dumpster and scared the crap out of it. I mean, you know, something like that, that maybe you saw happen. Maybe you didn't, maybe you would never connect. They're scared of the bowl. There's so many different things that go into it, but as far as a dog not, or maybe they talk their person into cooking it and, you know, they decided that it smells different for sure, and it's got a different taste to it. So, there's so many factors that go into that. But as far as a dog refusing to eat raw, there's got to be, as far as I'm concerned, I could be wrong, I don't know. There's got to be some reason behind it, and whatever it is, you need to find a workaround because there's not really, I mean, I guess in a few instances here and there, lightly cooked, might be better for some dogs in some situations, but it's pretty rare. But, never, ever go back to kibble. Why would you give a sick dog or a baby dog or a senior dog or an active dog something that's so toxic and hard on its body like that? Why would you ever even conceive that would be the right direction to go?
Right.
I mean, honestly, I would rather my dog not eat at all than eat something toxic. That may sound extreme, but the body is going to be way more able to deal with whatever it's having to deal with without introducing something toxic into it. I mean, I'm not saying I'd let a dog starve to death, but what I am saying is, if you have a sick dog, don't introduce something toxic to it.
Yeah, that's the really tough part. I'm not certain that we've harped on that enough to change the narrative in the head, because the narrative is strong.
I know it in kibble is any commercial food like that is so toxic. I mean, there's not. I just don't even have words strong enough to say. I mean, there is absolutely no way ever that I couldn't do it. So you can imagine how hard it is for me working where I work and having to do what I do. I can't be part of the feeding program because I just can't do it.
It's like you're just pouring poison in their bowl, you know?
Yeah, and it's so, I mean, the dogs that I see that, you know, most people think are totally fine and look totally fine and healthy, I see how unhealthy they are and the issues that they have and the issues that are coming up. And it's heartbreaking.
It is. It is. And, you know, I have one pet parent in particular. Now, this dog had a lot of issues. It's been at the vet a lot, had a lot of issues. But she's saying that, you know, he just throws up everything. He's not able to digest a highly digestible food. And so I'm always curious, can a dog actually digest better non-digestible food and toxic food better than a highly digestible food? It baffles me.
Well, so I wouldn't say it's digesting, but, you know, there's digesting starch and sugar and carbs like that is totally different than digesting real protein, right? So that dog needs digestive enzymes. It needs, probably needs protective probiotics. It needs to, the body needs help re-equilibrating itself to produce the right enzymes and the right pH and all that in order to digest real food. So, I mean, you think about it, kibble is starch, is sugar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that it's digestible, it's just that it moves through. Real food does have to be digested, but you know, that's one of those situations where maybe you would do lightly cooked and you would add digestive enzymes and things like that. Start off with something like raw eggs and bone broth. I mean, they can live on eggs and bone broth for a long time. That's not going to be hard to digest. That should be like almost instantly absorbed, right?
But would you make your own bone broth?
I do, yeah.
How do you make it?
So the easiest way to do it, I just went and got one of those big oval, I forget how many quarts it is, 7, 8, whatever it is, crock pots, dedicated it to the dogs, and then you just fill the bottom with, there's lots of different ways. This is, and I've done it lots of different kinds of ways, but this is generally the way I do it. Just the regular marrow bones, cover the bottom with marrow bones. And you can, sometimes I give them to them and let them eat the marrow out first and then use it. Sometimes I leave it in, just depends. And then cover that with either duck feet or chicken feet. Usually ends up being a pound and a half or so of feet. Mm-hmm. And then fill that up with filtered water and then add, for that size of a pot, I usually add like 6 tablespoons of raw apple cider vinegar, you know, like with the mother in it, like Bragg's, any of the organic unfiltered apple cider vinegar with the mother in it, 6 tablespoons, and then put it on low for 24-ish hours, maybe a little bit longer, and then just turn it off and fish out the bones and let it cool, and if there's any, you know, if there's any fat to speak of, it'll go to the top and you just skim it off, and then it should be jelly, turn into like a jelly consistency. And I have enough dogs that I just pour it into a couple of different containers and use it. Some people will make a big batch like that and they don't use it very fast, so they freeze it. Some people freeze it in ice cubes and then just store it in a plastic bag in the freezer or something like that. But
what do you do with that fat?
I used to throw it out.
Well, that's awesome. So good information, good information. Terrain theory, bone broth, you know, all that kind of stuff is awesome. And I would encourage all of you guys that are listening, if you want to work with somebody who knows how to get your dog back in shape, that's Neely Piazza. She can help you. I mean, I was talking to Rita about you, and I said, I don't know anybody that studies more than Neely. Maybe, you know, I was shocked because Rita was saying that she didn't know a lot of people. Like, she's like, look, I don't know this person or that person. I was like, do you know Dr. Paul Saladino? Do you know? She's like, I don't, because I keep, you know, I'm busy doing what I do in canine, you know, herbalist.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, she really is. And just the way that she presents these tough situations, and we all think the same way, right? We all want to keep the dog's terrain clean.
Yeah.
And we don't compromise on that. She doesn't, you don't, I don't, none of us do. So we can come across as harsh, but I think she's figured out a way to not be so harsh. And because she does a good job. She's just like, well, those people that feel the need to do those things, those people that we love, you know, she's like
very non-judgmental and very diplomatic, and she meets people where they are. She's really good like that. But
she says, she
also, yeah,
I can undo it, you know, or I'm going to try to help you undo it.
Well, you know, you don't want to throw a guilt trip on somebody for doing something that they're like, oh my God, I should have done that. I was like, well, okay, but yeah, it's done, so let's see what we can do to fix it, right? I mean, there's nobody does anything like that on purpose, you know.
Come on now, there are some people that I would throw a guilt trip on in a heartbeat, like the vet who absolutely, they had five dogs that went over there after they had administered the NexGard.
Oh yeah, that, see, yeah, but that's the vet. But I'm talking about owners. I'm talking about people. Well,
you,
I mean,
don't you think that vets have dogs too? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the pediatricians that push vaccines but don't vaccinate their own kids. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, but then again, you know how hard I am on vets and how I'm always like, don't do it. But most of them, they bought the Kool-Aid, you know, they went through vet school and they had all that stuff shoved down their throat and they had to regurgitate it, and they just believe it because that's, and then you pay that much money and you put that kind of investment and that kind of time into that kind of an education, and you're like, well, there's no way I'm going back on it. But see, I don't understand that either, because I have more college than anybody I have ever met, and I don't have that problem. If it's not true, it's not true.
Right.
I mean, what the biggest thing I learned in school is how to think and how to find what is true.
You didn't party? You didn't party and just get passed through? Come on.
Well, I did some of that too, but you know,
you got to wonder, you know, yeah. I mean, critical thinking skills,
are dead.
They are dead, but they are critically needed. And, we just,
it's like I said earlier, the germ theory and vaccine theory and all that never made sense to me. I never really, you know, I was like, I don't buy that. That doesn't sit well. It doesn't make any sense. But you know, there's not really a, it's like, well,
so I know, but you know what?
Like, but every little chink in the armor you find, you're like, aha, see? And then you go find something else out, and then you go find something else out. And then you have a dog bleed out from vaccinosis, and you're like, yeah, okay. I get it. I don't need to be pounded over the head. And then you really look into it hardcore and you're like, yeah, I knew they were lying to me.
Yeah. I think that the biggest, and we can talk about this at another time, but the biggest narrative and the biggest lie was always thrown out there about the chickenpox, the polio vaccine.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. Look at the real history of the polio vaccine and the smallpox vaccine. It is not at all what common lore would have you believe. Not at all. Polio vaccine causes polio. The only reason that, yeah, look into it. It's a big hoax, and all the information's there. All you gotta do is read it.
Don't give me this.
What about polio crap? Anybody that says that says, well, what about polio or what about smallpox or whatever? I know they have not looked even a millimeter under the surface of the story. Because that is the easiest thing to disprove. It's easy. The information is everywhere. They change the definition. They change the diagnosis. They change the time span. You know, all that stuff. That's the deal with polio.
Yeah.
And the Spanish flu, that was all. Well, it wasn't the flu. Because viruses are not transmissible. They tried. There's multiple studies out there that they tried to give people it, and not a single person got sick. That's one of the things that I didn't know that, but Dr. Cowan and Dr. Kaufman and Dr. Merritt. I love Dr. Merritt. Dr. Tenpenny. We forgot Dr. Tenpenny.
I didn't forget her.
I did. Shame on me. Well, Dr. Kaufman calls it, this is his analogy, and I think it's good. So when you do get what you call a flu or cold or something like that, he's like, it's like having an air filter change in your furnace or in your car. It's like the filter's all clogged up and it needs to like change. So all the crap comes out and it takes all of the, you know, all the mucus and all the crap comes out. And then once you don't want to stop that, because that's your body getting rid of all that waste and crap and debris, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to stop it, you want to let it happen. And you definitely don't want to stop a fever, because like Dr. Cowan says, that like melts the gels so that all the toxic things can come out and your body can get rid of them. And if you stop that, then they end up getting stuff deeper, and then your next detox is just that much worse. So if you're sick, just don't worry about it. Be sick. Let your body get rid of what it needs to get rid of and just move on. And then that's why people are sick, get sick so much more often like that when they head it off at the pass, because body's like, geez, I'm trying to help you out here and get rid of all this crap, and you keep stuffing it back in.
Well, especially when you have something called bronchitis, and they said, you keep treating that, or you keep getting a flu shot and you keep getting bronchitis. And my mom did this for years. And they said, you know what you end up with? Lung cancer.
Yeah.
If you keep doing that.
Yeah. Because the lungs are trying to get rid of all that stuff.
So I told my mom, I said, Mom, don't you ever take another flu shot. And do you know what? For the last 2 years, she's been way healthy.
There you go.
You know, because she stopped, even during all of this corona crap, she absolutely, you know, and my mom's 79 years old. She'll be 80 years old this year. So there's a lot to that. And there's a lot to, you know, change in the diet, you know, as I've told you.
That's your baseline. That's your base. You can't have a healthy building on if it doesn't have a solid foundation, and your diet is your foundation.
Well, you know, I was telling you that my brother got a cancer diagnosis, right? And so he totally changed everything, right? Changed everything. And this guy's fit. This guy runs, he works out all the time, he's super fit. So he was still having aches and pains, right? Boom, 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 in his joints and everything. So when he got this cancer diagnosis, I mean, he cut every bit of processed food. He said, nothing like a little cancer diagnosis to motivate you to really watch what you're eating. And, you know, started doing the turkey tail and the chaga mushrooms. And he got one of the saunas to heat the body up. he has
the, again, to help melt the gel so that all the debris can come out.
Right. And he's got the hot tub and, and he started changing the water, you know, with the water that he drinks. And so he said, I have never felt this good in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Never felt this good in my life. And so, but yeah, so it's all about getting that terrain cleaned up. But in the dogs, I think it's a lot easier because they don't get a choice, right? They don't get a choice. If you don't give them the choice of processed food and processed treats, you know, you're going to clean up their terrain pretty quick. If we can just help you make that connection that toxins into the body don't heal the body.
Yeah.
What is entirely and completely and totally evident is that dogs have gotten sicker and sicker and sicker, and people gotten sicker and sicker. So what the heck is going on? It's not just that there's Monsanto. It's not just that there's glyphosate. It's not just that. It's that there's crappy food. And the vaccine mandates have gone up. They're wanting to put more and more toxins in your body, more and more toxins in your dog's body. And the body can't withstand all that. Just isn't going to withstand all that.
No.
It will break down.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Go over to rawdogfoodandco.com. You will find Neely Piazza on the experts page. Actually, I think it's now under health consults. Okay, you can find her and she will work with you. Super easy. Just sign up for that. You get $25 off to work with Neely just by going through my site. Okay, you're automatically going to get that $25 off. And remember, we have a new app. It's in the App Store. It's the Raw Dog Food and Company app. And you can download it on iPhones and Androids. It was kicking the Androids out, but I think we've got that bug fixed.
Yeah, I got it. It worked for me.
Awesome. Awesome. You have a 10% off app code there that you can use and put it in, get 10% off that first app order. So load up and then get 10% off. Okay. And you might as well load up because the prices are going to increase. You know, I get this call all the time. What's happening to your prices? I'm like, same thing's happening in the grocery store. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Same cows.
I'm like, we're right there in the food industry, folks. I don't know if you've gone to the grocery store and watched your bill double, but I know I have. But so stock up now before inflation. I don't know how high inflation is going to go. I have no earthly idea. All right, everybody, go to rawdogfoodandco.com. Well, your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.